Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 7th Night for Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7th Night for Hallis in your ears, for you. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis.
What's going on, people? Welcome back to another edition of 79th and Hallis, episode 262. It's your guy, Scott and Flo's here. Apologize for my voice. It's a little raspy right now. Still been, you know, dealing with recovering from this little cold ad or whatever. But we are here. You can follow us on all social media platforms at Barbershare Scott, at Flo's and Delaney. Follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net. And of course, follow 7th and Hallis, 7th and Hallis. Seventh loss in a year. I mean, seven loss in a row. You know what I'm saying? So, what's your initial thoughts from this game? This over in the first quarter. It was over in the first quarter. I turned it off for a while. I went to Red Zone. Saw that the other games weren't as good either. This is a real sleepy week 14. Hopefully the Sunday night game will be good. It's Chargers, Chiefs. But this one was over.
This is one of the few times, in my opinion, where college football outshines the NFL. Because college yesterday, some very, very good college football games. I mean, you saw Penn State go toe-to-toe with the number one offense in the nation. And I mean, I forgot the deal. Drew Aller was so close to really getting them to a good score and getting them scoring range. And then you come to this game, you come to this day of football, and I think the really good game, I wouldn't say really good, somewhat exciting, was the Bills-Rams. And most of the time, the Rams were up by 3 scores, but the Bills were just trying constantly with offense. Then you add in some stinkers, including the Bears, and you have an underwhelming Sunday. You know, we weren't in San Fran, so we didn't have a chance to be there and look at the stats live, but the game was over very early. The Bears, for some reason, Thomas Brown, his play calling, activates only in the second half. And it's pretty clear he won't be really the proficient play caller he needs to be until he gets some more experience and learns how to not have to constantly adjust. I mean, not have to wait until the next half for his offense to really start to do something. And that's unfortunate, but, you know, kind of is what it is. I think in the second half, the Bears and the Niners were near the same amount of points scored. I have to double check, but it was over quick. Yeah, the Bears scored 13 to 14. Rams scored 14, Bears scored 13. Yeah, it was never really close. It just kind of is what it is. I mean, I have nothing really positive to say. The Bears, I mean, you know, positive in terms of, you know, what fans can look forward to. Romo Odunze is good. Caleb's good. Yeah. I think the really only thing that sticks out is that I don't think, right, this is exactly what Zach said. As if you all follow 312 Darius on Twitter and his infamous tweet, we got our stats. This Triple H putting on a suit and walking off. Like, that's all I'm looking at.
And we got his stats. With some.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it's what is there to preserve in this season. You know, Caleb's sitting right now, 2,700 yards, 16 touchdowns, 5 picks. How many games he has left? 4. Four more games to get himself 20 touchdowns and another 300 yards to get himself 3,000 passing yards. And he'll have had the best – I mean, he already has had the best rookie quarterback season in Bears history. So – and he has a good rating, too. He completed 73% of his passes, 116 yards. I think the biggest knock on him today is that he held on to it too long. But at the same time, there was no one open. So, I mean – when you hit rock bottom as a team, what do? Just kind of laugh it off.
I can't laugh at all. I'm not pissed off. I'm just irritated. I'm tired of doing this every day.
I'm not even irritated, man.
I'm irritated because it's annoying. It's annoying. And if I didn't have a podcast to do, if I didn't have a show to do, if I didn't have to go up to Hallis Hall, go to these games, it wouldn't be as annoying. But it's annoying because it makes my job more of a pain in the ass.
I feel
to cover this shit. And it's annoying. Like, how many I thought we'd be done with this by now. That I literally thought, I think a lot of people thought that. We said on the show, beginning of the year, the rebuild is over. That's what we all thought. That's what it should have been. And I also get annoyed when I see stupid comments about, well, hey, man, you know, now was even food's even a problem? Like, it's like like multiple things can be right at one time. Even food should not have been coached the team. But we're also seeing now that, not seeing now, that should have not, that was something I said on I'm Not Gonna Hold You a couple weeks ago, that let's not take any of the blame away from the players. Like, they still got to go out there and execute. You know what I'm saying? And that was something that I feel like we weren't getting talked about enough, and now we will. They went out there with no effort. We all thought, I thought that the Bears would, even if they didn't win, that they would come out like the team that's got something to play for. They lost six in a row. You know, your head coach got fired. You know, you got a new voice. And you're like, okay, let's see if we can finish this season out strong. The Niners came out the same way that we thought the Bears would come out. They completely, like, I feel like Kyle Shanahan went out there to prove a mission. To me, it kind of felt like, hey, nigga, y'all want to fix this? Trade for me. Like, you know, this is something that I don't know if you heard John Lynch talk on Rich Eisen on Friday. But what I took from that was, give me a call. Like, you know, tell me what you would offer for Kyle Shanahan. And what you're seeing is more and more, Joe, what you said. If you want a hearty laugh, go back and watch the I'm Not Gonna Hold You Chicago Bears season preview special. If you know that had a cold freezing takes page, that whole episode is cold freezing takes. So if you want to go out there and laugh, watch that. But Joe, you said it on that episode. Ryan Poles built the team backwards. And that's what we're seeing right now. And this is the first game in a while where all the sacks I would blame mainly on the offensive line. There's maybe like one, maybe two that I would blame Caleb for holding the ball on too long. But overall, I'm blaming this on the offensive line. Braxton Jones is trash. I don't know how many more times I got to say it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the boy stinks. Like, we just got to call it like it is. And there's just a lot of hope. The defense. I wish my boy Kyle was on the check. I argued with this nigga on Twitter this week. He said, the defense isn't bad. Joe, what did I say last year when they finished the season strong? I said, they are bum slayers. I'm not buying it. And it's the annoying thing is, very rarely are Bears fans agreeing on something. The two problems that Bears fans said had to be addressed, coach and defensive line, both were the problems. I don't think Brock Purdy's the best quarterback. But he's not bad. If you give him 10 years to throw the ball, he's going to dice you up. It's just that simple. And that's exactly what he did. And not only did you get embarrassed, you got embarrassed by a team that, by the way, the Niners are having a terrible year. They're not going to make the playoffs. Christian McCaffrey's out. Christian McCaffrey's back out, who was really, really good when he was out, is out as well. Nick Bosa's out, and Trent Williams is out. And you went out there and you put that display out. I was at Hallis Hall on Monday. I heard, Kevin Warren say that Ryan Poles is and will remain our general manager. He's got time to change that, bro. He's got time to change that because, you know, a lot of these new head coaches, they want to be lined up with a GM. And you're going to get a new head coach. I like Thomas Brown, but, hey, the chance of him getting the job already died. You're not getting that, buddy. It's over with. You're going to get an interview because of the Rooney Rule, but that's about it. He's had 6 weeks to make a decision. I would personally fire Ryan Poles because this roster's on your head, bro. You're on mute.
Again, why would you build the team in this way? It baffles me. You're like, oh, well, you know, he did get out the linemen. I'm like, yeah, but they were never his priority. I love Romo Dunze. I love him, but you had number 9 pick. Why aren't you getting yourself an offensive lineman?
Yeah. I still have no problem with that one, honestly. I still have a big problem with it.
You don't need it. You had Keenan and DJ. You don't need him.
Yeah, but Keenan's not a long-term solution.
It don't matter. You don't need him that bad. You need a lineman. You need a lineman very bad, whether that was a starting center or a starting guard or a starting a three tech. You needed it, and you didn't get it. And that is just, it baffles me. Anyway, it's just insane that because you build a team so ass backwards, that now we're seeing the fruits of it. And Scott, you know, the fact that you call that defense bum slayers is the truth. Against the Bums, they're going to do some crazy stuff, get some picks. But when it comes to a team that is, even if they're injured, they're a well-oiled machine like the Niners, they do nothing. And this is just the reality that Bears fans have to face, and the reality that I believe makes Ryan Poles not a suitable person to stay on as the GM position, because he built this team. He built it wrong. He built it backwards. He built it inefficiently. He built it bloated. And now we're seeing the results of that happen. The sad part is that when it comes to having a podcast and talking about these games, what more can you talk about besides the same things every week? You know, I wonder if the situation were reversed. I think it's kind of like when a team is also so great that they're winning everything, that you kind of have to go every week, like, well, you know, they won again, some good things, we'll see you next week. When they suck, you got to do the same thing, but in reverse. You go, nothing changed, it's the same old, let's move on. I think Ryan Poles within him has a good general manager. However, he needs to learn somewhere else. You know, I remember watching Beef, what was it, Beef 1, Beef 2, or 50 was gotten to with Bang 'Em Up Smurf. For those of you who watched the Beef DVDs back in the day, he got into it with this nigga from his hood, and he said, I sent you back to the hood to get your mind right. And that's exactly what Ryan Poles needs to do. He needs to go back to somewhere with scouting, player personnel. He needs to have a little bit more time to grow as a executive, because I don't think he's there yet. Right now, he clearly seems a person who is, he wants to make some big splashes. He wants to make some things, he wants to make some things seem pop, wants to have a pop, but he does not want to put in the actual work with getting talented, skilled, well-fitting pieces to the Bears offense and defense. And even at the people that he got, I mean, you look at someone who was gushing over Ryan Bates stinks. I forgot who the signing from the Bengals who failed the physical, which was Ryan Poles' first year, just full of missteps. And then the offensive line you do have, they're not good. So I say all that to say that the Bears are in the situation they put themselves in. There is some good that Ryan Poles has done. Getting that trade that got you DJ, that got you Caleb, getting Rome, getting Keenan, all fine and dandy. But now I don't think he deserves to have him to be able to clean up the mess that he's made. I think it needs to go back to someone experienced who knows what they're doing. That's really it for positives. You know what I'm saying? I think Thomas Brown, when he finds a job afterwards, because it's a tall order. I think for him to keep his job, he would have had to go undefeated these rest of these games, or he wins the next of these games in a convincing fashion for him to have a chance to get this job. I think he'll become a good play caller somewhere else when he has more time, a full year, offseason, mini camp, training camp to develop himself. Right now, it's just a few missteps. Operationally, I can say this today wasn't bad at all operationally, but the bar is in hell. You know, Matt Eberflus, again, was so terrible operationally that the bare minimum will seem better. But to any Bears fan who sits there and say, oh, he wasn't a problem. No, he was a problem. It's just the issue. It's like, for instance, when you have a cold, how many symptoms do you typically have? Sorry, let's say you have the flu. You have a fever, chills, cough,
congestion.
If you take care of one,
fatigue, you
take care of one, that's not the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still dealing with remnants of it right now.
You know what I'm saying? You take care of one. Nigga, did you have the flu?
I don't know. I thought it was cold. Did you have your flu shot? Yeah, I took my flu shot.
I think you took it too late, brother.
I took it a week after I took COVID. It was 3 fucking months ago.
Okay. Mr. Me. Then again, I may have also
Nigga, had you the got flu sick like 50 times in the last 10 business days.
I may have had the flu earlier in November, which is why I just got over it. I just got my voice back, which, oh, I'm so thankful. Shout out to
right, Zach. Poles immune to strong in his own line. That's hilarious.
Zach, how could you betray me?
You miss like 6 weeks every football season.
I know. But also for the women who are watching this, I look beautiful today, don't I? Oh, look,
there's no women watching this show.
Look at the cut. Oh,
there's no women watching this show.
I think we have a few.
There's no women watching us complain.
Some big burly Midwestern women. Some big burly Midwestern
women. No women watching us complain about a 4-10 football team.
But how many? So do we have? They have 3 games left, or
4 games left.
So we got what? The Lions, Vikings.
No, you got the Vikings next on Monday Night Football.
I'm not saying in order. I'm saying Lions, Vikings, Packers, Seattle.
Yes.
How many home games left? 1.
2.
2. Seattle and
the Lions.
Lions. So, yeah, man, this is like, what more can we talk about? I think, okay, if I think I have a topic for us to talk about right now, because the rest of this conversation will go nowhere because it's the same old, same old. If you're a GM coming into this situation next year, let's say in a perfect world, Ryan Poles gets fired, Scott Lewis is named general manager of the Chicago Bears. What are the players on all three phases of the game that you are absolutely going to keep?
Say that again.
Let's say, perfect world, Ryan Poles gets fired, general manager Scott Lewis is up. You're tasked with keeping players from all three phases of the game. Who are you picking?
Okay. Special teams, I'm keeping Torrey Taylor. That's it. That's it.
We're going to, I will say, when it comes to special team players, finding some good gunners, finding some good blockers, you can find them very easily.
And Cairo Santos, it's not just Cairo Santos' problem, it's an NFL problem. The playoffs are going to be hilarious with all these bad kickers in the NFL right now.
The catalyst for the bad kicking is moving the extra point back.
Yeah.
That is the reason, and I'm so thankful.
I hate it.
There's no reason the extra point should have been a given.
Mentally, it throws them off. But yeah. I would get rid of Cairo. So I would draft a kicker. I'm sorry. I'd draft a kicker and go from there. So, yeah, on special teams, I'm only keeping Torrey Taylor. Offense, I'm keeping Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, DJ Moore. That's about it. Because you're going to have a couple picks. Now, I'm hot that we back here looking at draft position again. But I'm looking at it right here. So the Bears right now, as it stands, we have the 9th pick, 35th pick, and the 40th pick.
Good picks.
Now, I have a question for you in a minute, just when I finish answering who I would keep. But okay, so that's why I keep on the offensive side. Defense, okay. I'm keeping. He's a Swift I would keep. I mean, you can replace. Running back's replaceable, unless you're like Saquon.
What we're seeing now is because it has been such a strong shift to a pass-only league. The best teams have a great back.
I would get rid of him. So he's on the contract. He's gonna stay anyway. So I'll include Swift in there. I'll include Swift. So on the defensive side, I'm keeping Montez, Jalen, Kyler. That's probably it.
Cool.
That's probably it. You know what I'm saying? Tyreek has gotten terrible. Jaquan can't stay healthy.
Right.
That's who I would keep.
So for me on the special team side of the ball, I am going to 1,000% keep Torrey Taylor. He's a very good punter. I'm going to keep Cairo Santos because what I think we're seeing is we want our kickers to have the same percentage as they did back in the 2000s and the 90s and the 80s. No, it's gone. Now kickers are going to start being great, having 80% some kicking rate because it's just not easy anymore.
Oh, like I gotta say this. Hey man, look, I like Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet a 40-degree day, dog. There's nothing special about that nigga, man. Nothing special, bro.
As I was saying, I would definitely keep Cairo Santos because I just think it's just the way that the league is going. That kickers are just not going to No, I am not keeping Javon Dexter. He sucks. If you watch Javon Dexter, his stats look like they're better than Jalen Carter's. The problem is that I've never seen Javon Dexter blow up an A gap, blow up a B gap. I've never seen him take the offensive lineman one-on-one, put him in the blender, get to the backfield. It just doesn't happen. More than likely, Javon Dexter stands straight up after he gets past the line, the ball is snapped. I just think he is just a good depth piece, and that's about it. So, special team-wise, I'm going to keep Torrey Taylor. I'm going to keep Cairo Santos. Jonathan Owens is a nice, good special team player. Can fit in pretty easily. I would keep him. Offensively, I'm going to keep Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze, Darnell Wright. Probably DeAndre Swift is going to stay there, so I keep him. That's probably it as far as I go. Cole Kmet legitimately is a 40-degree day. He's not great one-on-one when it comes to defender. Like watching Brock Bowers going one-on-one against a freaking DB, getting a pass, catching one hand. That's not happening with Caleb Williams. I mean, happy Cole Kmet. I'm not keeping him. I'm going to look elsewhere. In terms of players who I absolutely would keep, defensively, I would keep Montez Sweat, Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, TJ Edwards, Jack Sanborn, because even though they pretty much stay in nickel constantly, I think Jack Sanborn really has good prowess, blows it up. And if not, Jack Sanborn will find a better career somewhere else because I think he's a starter in the league. TJ Edwards is just a really smart linebacker. He can blitz well. He can cover well. He's just a really overall good player. Jaquan Briscoe, when he's active, he's good, but he's he's hurt, and then this concussion is just – it's so bad that he's out this long. I really feel for him, and unfortunately, that's a liability. So Kyler, Jalen, Montez. So Kyler, Jalen, Montez, Jack Sanborn, TJ Edwards. Yeah, that's about it. Tyreek, it seems like he's a good in zone, not really great man coverage. He's making too many mental lapses. Outside of that, everything else is up for sale. That's not to say those would be the only players I would keep, but everything else is up for grabs. Do what you can. Because, yeah, that's right now. But I do not think the Bears are in a rebuild situation. They're in a retool situation. Now, we talked about what the players that you would keep absolutely.
I don't believe in rebuilds in the NFL.
No, I'll tell you, I don't think. Yeah. So my next question for you, Scott, is we were talking about the players that we would keep absolutely, meaning under every circumstance. What are the players who you would absolutely move on from? Like, absolutely on from?
Tevin Jenkins.
Right.
Braxton Jones.
Right.
I mean, this is somebody called TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edwards back. So I don't think they're bad signs. This linebacker is not a premium position anymore. But I will move on from Tyree Stevenson. I think mentally he's cooked. I'll move on from him. The problem is I wish that Terrell Smith could stay healthy.
Right.
If that was the case, you could plug and play with him. But Tevin for sure, Braxton for sure. I'd only keep Keenan around if it's for the right price. Right. If Keenan does like a 2-year, $10 million deal, 1-year, $10 million deal, I keep him. But I think we need to give Rome more possessions. Like,
right.
I need to see Rome getting even more possessions. I know DJ's the highest paid player in Bears history, but I got to say this about DJ too. I shoot DJ a lot of bell, rightfully so. But if you're going to be over there sulking and having bitch fits when you don't get the ball and things don't go your way and things are frustrating, I need you to catch the ball when the ball comes to you.
Unfortunately, with wide receivers, bro, it does not matter if you're winning by 40. They're going to be upset.
I get that. Man,
who's the nigga on the Eagles? Number 11?
Oh, A.J. Brown. But see,
he was upset today. They won.
Him and Devontae Smith was up. That's because Jalen Hurts can't throw. But that's a different
conversation. That's cool, but you won the game. You will never see a running back be upset if they don't get the ball. They say, hey, man, we played well. Wide receivers are the greatest divas on earth.
I get it. I 100% agree. But if you're going to be a diva, you got to catch the ball. T.O.'s a diva, but he caught the ball. You got to catch the ball if you're going to be a diva. He's dropped too many passes for somebody who's the biggest player in Bears history. That's all I'm saying. I'm not mad at DJ. I love DJ. I think that the fans gave him too much shit this year, but he got to catch the ball. But honestly, I think everybody positioned outside of the people we name should be reevaluated. But Tevin Jenkins 100% should not be coming back. And also Braxton Jones. Both of them dudes got to go, like 100%.
Yeah. Right. So for me, special teams, neither Torrey. Obviously, I told you I want to keep Torrey, I want to keep Cairo. Offensively, I'm going to absolutely move on from Tevin Jenkins and Braxton Jones, Coleman Shelton, and whoever the hell will be the guard. The entire offensive line except Darnell Wright. I think Darnell Wright was a very good signing by Ryan Poles, draft pick by Ryan Poles, which is why I'm upset that you didn't get one more. You know what I'm saying? You had that ninth pick. Get yourself another tackle. I mean, having two great tackles is beautiful. Why? It's not that the guard or center are not as important. They're very important. But one thing that is easier to deal with is having two anchors on that tackle, because so many sacks come these days when those ends are just shooting upfield and getting passed, and now you're stuck. You have yourself where you're getting yourself sure on your outside. You leave a tight end, leave a running back in to sure up the inside. You can work with that. So Darnell Wright, absolutely keeping him. I'm really tired. I don't know if he'll ever be like a Pro Bowl level tackle, but I think he's a really solid tackle. So outside of him, all four of offensive linemen, I'm moving on. In order of importance, I'm going to move on from Braxton Jones first, Tevin Jenkins, Coleman Shelton, and then Matt Pryor position, whoever was there, the original Nate. That's why I said Coleman Shelton, originally position Nate Davis was supposed to be at. Afterwards, I'm going to absolutely move on from Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet is a sure-handed tight end, but Cole Kmet is not a great one-on-one tight end. If you need him to make a catch, it made him a difficult catch, he's not going to make it. That's probably it for what I'm going to definitely move on. On the defensive side of the ball, I am going to move on from Tremaine Edmonds. I'm also going to move on from Tyree Stevenson. I'm also going to move on from Jaquan Brisker because he just can't stay healthy. So those are the three players on defense I'm absolutely going to move on from. Because, unfortunately, it sucks because you can't control how often you get injured. It's not up to you. Some players genetically are just stronger and don't deal with it as much. Absolutely. You know, don't deal with it as much. Like, it seems like the greatest players of all time in sports don't deal with just crazy injuries that will keep them out for one time. Unfortunately, yeah. Was it 2 years ago they paid Cole Kmet?
Yeah, it was the beginning of last season.
So those are the players I would move on from absolutely in a perfect world. But I think the biggest issue for the Bears right now, if I can, this is my final question. What are the top three positions that absolutely need to be filled right now in the next in this offseason and the draft? The number one priority for me would be interior defensive line. Interior defensive line. It cannot work. The Bears will go nowhere if they don't get themselves a great D-tech, a three-tech, and get themselves a great edge rusher outside opposite of Montez Sweat. You don't get those two positions, you're going to suck. You get yourself some really good defensive linemen, you can deal with having Tremaine stay there, having some so-so play from Tyreek. You got to get that interior defensive line down. Next, you got to get your interior offensive line down. Now, the center and the guard might be just as important. I'm not 100% sure in terms of this next draft specifically, not just overall. Interior defensive line, interior offensive line, tight end. Those are my three biggest positions. Because after Brock Bauer is – I mean, what is Brock Bauer in the season right now? About 900 yards receiving right now?
He killed.
Brock Bauer. And
with bums on him.
So he's at 933 yards receiving, almost 90 receptions on the year. The kid is nuts. He's nuts. And bear in mind, he was picked 13. I would have liked to see him go earlier than that. So I think the biggest thing is three tech, center, left tackle, right end or left end, and then guard, and then tight end. Those are that's how you have to go in order to just get some change in the organization, which is why I say it's not a rebuild. It's just a retool. The good thing is you had a lot of draft picks this year, and if teams like Jaguars keep winning, you might find yourself even higher up in the draft pick right now. But this goes to show why you need to move on for Ryan Poles. You shouldn't be this high again in the draft. That is a sign of malfeasance in your organization. Being this high up again is just not a good sign. So, yeah, that's where I end my spiel at.
So here's my question to you. You said that I still don't care about the Rome Odunze. Who got drafted? Joe Alt was gone. That was the only guy I wanted top 10 at that point anyway. I wasn't going to reach when I can get a guy like Rome Odunze who I thought was going to be drafted ahead of time. Also, I don't like the fact the Bears fans are Monday morning quarterback in that decision because everybody loved it when it happened. Everybody loved it when it happened. Everybody said, well, this is great. The Bears usually go defense and things like that. They went and helped Caleb out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That right there was why I don't have any issues. I have issues with people talking about the Rome shit. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, but you also had like J.C. Latham, who was from Alabama.
Yeah, well, I don't. That's cool. I don't like none of the niggas on Rome Odunze. I just don't. I think Rome.
I do.
But even when they tried, you said you loved the Rome pick when it happened.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because I was not anticipating how bad the offensive line would be.
Yeah, I said so. We Monday morning quarterbacking now is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean, we're looking at hindsight. Will always be 20/20. You'll always see better in hindsight. When it happened, I said, "Wow, what a great pick!" Because I thought. Serviceably, especially because you moved on from Cody White here, and I forgot the other dude's name, that you would have some better picks going. Ryan Bates would do well at the guard position. Coleman Shelton, or I thought it was going to be Kramer, would step in and be center. I thought, you know, PFF Braxton Jones, they love that dude. I thought he would have a solid year. Tevin Jenkins had a good year last year. I thought he'd do well. So hindsight will always make me, you know, will always be better. It always will be. I don't think it's Monday morning quarterback. I just think it's hindsight. Hindsight lets you go, shouldn't have did that. But as a GM, you should know better than me.
We could do the draft again today. I'm still taking Rome Odunze, but that's me. But to go to the coming up draft, you talk about offensive line. Are you 100% going O-line at pick 9 or pick 10, whatever you end up? Or, you know, you talk about powerful backs. What if homeboy from Boise State is there? You going him?
Ashton Jinty, no.
Exactly.
I like Ashton Jinty. He's a small back. I mean, he's a small running back. He's like freaking 5'9". He's a little dude. I don't know You know what I'm saying? And he went to Boise State. They're not playing great competition. The funny thing is, I think this is the best draft for edge rushers. A lot of good edge rushers. You could probably get, I mean, the nigga from Penn State is probably going first, Carter. Not first, but first lineman, D-lineman second. And the nigga from Michigan, Graham, is probably getting one of those around there. But you got a tackle from Texas. You got a tackle from LSU. I can't think specifically of any other, like, immediately, like, what's the greatest thing? I think the best thing you're going to get, edge rushers, tackles. So I don't know if this is a great – I don't think this is a great draft for a center. I think you'll find a center in the second, third round. First round, tackle, edge. Edge, those are your two best things. There's a few DTs as well. But I think the best DT is probably going early. You might not go see a DT again until later in the round. So, but I mean, let me see. The Bears, their pick right now, pick 9. And then again, would you say pick 32 or something?
Pick 35.
35? Yeah, but you could make something shake.
9, 35, and 40.
You could 9, 35. You could make something shake. My best thing is you probably go. Oh, man. If they get higher, go DT. They get higher, go DT. If they're not what they are right now, stick with OT. Next pick, go DT. It's really just alternated. It's here, it's offense, defense, offensive line, defensive line, offensive line, defensive line. Because skill player wise, just set, I still like DeAndre Swift. I just think DeAndre Swift has had to deal with a terrible offensive line who's not giving him basically any running lanes. So you keep it down. I mean, he's at 700 yards on the season, which is just thoroughly shocking. I don't know how you got there because they ain't give you no blocking. He'll probably end up with 900 yards, which is a miracle. But I think it's a testament to how good of a player he is. Keep him. Cole Kmet, this is where I think you need to start seeing what can we get in third round, fourth round, fifth round. Maybe there's some value there for a tight end.
Here's the issue. We've talked about all the draft. It goes back to your general manager.
Right.
And that's why I think – I was like, oh, you know, he's done enough to keep his job. I disagree with that now. I think he got to go. And I'm not 100% sure that Kevin Warren doesn't disagree. Now, I was at the press conference on Monday. You listen to the press conference. That sound like a nigga who is not going to run this thing by himself this winter.
Right.
Did that sound like you? To me, it sounded like he was like, I'm running the show. And I got George's backing. That's what I took from that press conference.
Right.
Did you say the same thing? Yeah.
I don't know if I was about to teach a class or I had already taught a class. But I feel as a person who looks terrified that, you know, they're just like terrified, like, I have to get this done. The lease is short. But again, that's just appearance.
You says what?
He looks terrified.
Yeah.
Ryan pulls like a deer in the headlights.
And so, and then, you know, you bring up these head coaches, the new head coaches, they always want to be lined up with the GM. So let's just say, I don't think this is going to happen. I think it's a moot point. I don't think it will happen. I definitely don't think the Bears would trade draft capital for him. I would. But let's just say it is a Kyle Shanahan or a Sean McVay or even Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson laid out what he wanted. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Johnson laid out what he wanted. And if you want to coach Ben Johnson, he wants his own GM. I get rid of him. What would you put percentage chances on Ryan Poles actually seeing this through this winter?
Like in a good way?
Realistic. No, I mean, just what are the chances you give him to keep his job?
About 6 out of 10, 60% chance. But that changes in these last four games. First, it was Eberflus's scapegoat. He clearly was the issue. But if they continue to lose badly, you'll say, oh, my goodness, it's more than that. The players are not where they should be. People are in wrong position. They're not playing as hard as they should. Then you'll start to see. And then he went bargain shopping, hoping he could get him a great player. Like, he's a bargain hunter. He's not really into making these deals that will, you know, get you the best possible position. And I think if they continue to lose in the way that they lose now, the job will be worse. I mean, the percentage of he'll keep his job will be worse. So as of right now, 60%. The last four games will definitely make or break him. If they lose the rest of this, I don't see how he keeps his job.
I'll put it at 50-50 right now.
Okay.
That's what I'll put it at. I'll put it at 50-50 because I do think that how the rest of the season, like, they finished, like, I'm officially not picking on to win any game from here on out. From here on out, I'm not picking on to win any other game. Right now, 7 rows. So if they lose the next 4, that means you end the season on an 11-game loser streak. And they haven't won since London. What's that, December 8th? Right. You remember the day we left for London? It was October 9th. So they haven't won in 2 months. So if they lose another 4, then I think the GM got to lose his job.
Right.
That's what I would take at it, man. I'm not shocked with anything with this team from here on out. But, bro, if you look at it, dog, there's no way that they should have came out with that energy, bro.
Right.
That's just how I look at it. And Thomas Brown, I think that I didn't see that much of a change in the offense. Like, I think the biggest issue is the defense more than anything. That the defense gave up the draws today. One thing
in that was definitely which call its first game. First professional game calling plays because he looked terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Thomas Brown definitely, all his offense the last couple weeks have always started slow. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why this team doesn't move quicker because obviously Caleb likes that.
Right.
So I don't understand, man. I personally ain't really got nothing else to go over. I mean, I actually feel bad for the people who listen to the show. Because it feels like we're beating a dead horse. Every week we come up here and we talk about, what can they fix? Who to blame now? Who to blame this? The fact of the matter is, this is a problem, a rotten problem. You know what I'm saying? It's a problem with how the organization is run. And until that changes, it's going to be the same thing. For the first time in my life, quarterback is not the issue.
Yep.
But now you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about that you're going to have the quarterback, you're going to do nothing with him.
Right.
And somebody tweeted said, I hope he doesn't turn out like Matthew Stafford when he was in Detroit. You know what I'm saying? So that's my fear. And it's a legitimate fear. And I'm with Joe now. I have no faith in them getting it right this winter.
Nope.
I don't care if they do hire Ben Johnson. The only hiring they can make for me to get excited is a proven nigga like Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay. You get one of them, I'm hyped because we know what they can do.
Right.
I don't care if they sign Ben Johnson. He got to show it to me.
Right.
He got to show it to me. So that's pretty much where I'm at, man. I think we're going to be at Monday Night Football next week.
Yeah, should be.
We're going to be at Monday Night Football next week. Anything else you want to say if we get up out of here? I know Sunday Night Football about to start, and I want to see Mahomes versus Jay Herbo.
No, I'm going to have this Sunday Night Football on the small on my computer screen right here. I'm going to play God of War Ragnarok. I'm going to beat it again. Yeah.
I'm going to need to finish Xfinity stream app to get that shit together, man.
It was pretty good for me today.
It was it was a little choppy for me. It was choppy for me. But yeah. So anyway, follow us at Barber Chair Scott, F Flows and Lenny. Follow the Barber Chair Network. Follow 7-9 and Hallis. I will be breaking this down more in depth tomorrow. I'm not going to hold you. At 4 p.m. Central Time. Check in with us, man. We gonna holler at y'all niggas. We up out of here.
Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. The trusted source for the news. 7-9 for Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7-9 for Hallis in your ears. You. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis.